everywhere I go. I'd have you introduce me anytime. Well, good morning, everyone. It is my pleasure to be here with you today. How many of you, by a show of hands, have had a spiritual experience that exceeded your intellectual understanding and perhaps was beyond the boundaries of your belief system? Has anyone ever had that? I know I had, and I had no way of defining that experience at the time. It kind of blew my mind. In fact, I even asked myself, am I losing my mind? Well, the thing is, having a mystical union with spirit, it's a good thing to lose our minds, right? Because it means that we're having an experience of oneness. And this occurred for me when I was in my mid-20s and I had left the religion of my childhood. And I was sitting in a room of people and we had an exercise to do where we looked into our eyes into a mirror. And as we were looking into our eyes, we were, of course, invited to look beyond our physical appearance. And in that experience, I was seeing from my third eye, I guess you would say, because all of a sudden I wasn't really seeing my eyes or my face, but I was seeing a beam of brilliant light. And without any outward verbal communication, I recognized that light as Jesus, as his essence, the Christ essence. And then I saw another beam of light, and I recognized that that was my own light. And then those two lights just merged together into one brilliant beam of light. But that experience didn't happen in a very long period of time. It was instantaneous. And at that time in my life, before I came to a Unity church, I had the experience of what Unity teaches, and that is that we are divine, that we have that Christ, that inner living Christ presence within us. Now, I kept in the closet for a long time. I didn't talk about it. I didn't share it with anyone until I found people in community that had similar experiences, and they were talking about it. So then I came out of the closet, and we were able to connect in that way. So today I would like to speak to you about, as it says in your bulletin, the 1, 2, 3 of God, or experiencing the divine through those three perspectives, and about the four spiritualities in Eastern philosophy that are also experienced through these three perspectives. And these are four paths of yoga, and the first one path is called karma yoga, and that's the yoga, the worship, expressing your love for the divine through selfless service. The second one is bhakti yoga, which is by devotion, a way of prayer, worship, and ritual. The third one is raja yoga, which is the practice of mind and body harmony, which would include postures and asanas and meditation. And the fourth one is jnana yoga, which is the practice of wisdom and knowledge, studying wisdom and knowledge of sacred scriptures and ancient texts and teachings. Today, I think in this service that we've just about got all of these spiritualities and all. We certainly are going to have all three perspectives. We're not going to be doing any yoga postures, so I guess we're not doing that one, but anyway, this just reminds me that we are all so unique in the way we experience and express our connection to spirit. And to be well-rounded, to experience all of these modalities, and to understand these different modalities helps us to be more inclusive and empathetic to the paths of others. A Unitarian Universalist minister friend of mine introduced me to a book on these four spiritualities by Peter Richardson. And he teaches in UU ministry about these four spiritualities in the context of Jungian psychology and the Myers-Briggs personality types, which happens to be if you're an introvert, an extrovert, or if you're perceptive or intuitive, and these different qualities. I'm not going to get into all of that today, but his work in this book helps us in church to think about ways that we can include these different spiritualities in our services, in our classes, and in our daily practice personally. A couple of weeks ago, Reverend Mosby was giving the talk, and in that talk he talked about that most of the world's religions have a mystical aspect to them. And Webster's dictionary defines mysticism as the doctrine of truths believed to transcend ordinary understanding, or a direct intimate union of the soul with God through contemplation or spiritual ecstasy. Now, there are many practices through which we can experience that union and connect with that spiritual ecstasy. And they are the means through which we express our creativity. They can be through movement, through chanting, singing, art, prayer, ritual, gardening, hiking. There are different ways through which we connect. And these methods and modalities fit into those three perspectives of the divine. So let's go into that now. And today, I hope that you'll learn something about yourself and be able to apply some of these things in your daily practice in your life. So Ken Wilber is a modern philosopher and a teacher of integral psychology and much more than that. But he speaks of the 1-2-3 of God in this way, the way we conceptualize spirit, the first person perspective, the second person, and the third person. If you remember your English classes, you know what that means when you're writing sentences in grade school, first, second, and third person. Well, we relate from third person as a connection to the web of all life. We can relate to spirit and listen to, pray to, commune with in that second person relationship, which is I and you, or we. And this is the most common in our Western Christianity religions. Or we can meditate and know ourselves and speak as spirit in the first person, the I am of our source and substance, which is what unity has to offer in integrating these three perspectives. Because there are very few religions that offer that I am perspective. So let's begin with spirit in the third person. Again, it's described as the great web of life, and it's frequently experienced when observing objects of great beauty, transcendent art, deep space photography, gazing out into the stars at night in the cosmos, or the Grand Canyon, beautiful natural world. That's third person perspective, that we connect with this. Back in the 80s, again, that was a time I was introduced to a lot of other religious teachings and these other perspectives. And during this time frame, I went on a vision quest. And that was 10 days in the wilderness with a 3-day fast. And during that 3 days, we are alone in our own camp contemplating, praying, asking questions, journaling, and all of that sort of thing. And in that experience, I can tell you that it changed my life. And in that time that I was just connecting with the earth, I heard the hum of the earth. I heard, of course, all the animals and nature, and I had this feeling of ecstasy. I was feeling so connected with all of life. I was just in love with the world. That's the third person perspective. Now, often people who express primarily this third person perspective are out hiking on a Sunday. They may not always be inside the walls of a church. And since my best expression of creativity is through music, then I wanted to share some music with you from these three different perspectives. So our first song in your bulletin is We Walk With Beauty, which is a Native American chant, and we can do that together and really connect with that third person perspective. We walk with beauty all around us. As we walk the beauty way, we walk with beauty all around us. As we walk the beauty way, we walk with beauty before us. We walk with beauty behind us. We walk with beauty above us. We walk with beauty below us. We walk with beauty all around us. As we walk the beauty way, we walk with beauty all around us. As we walk the beauty way, all our thoughts are beautiful, all our words are beautiful, all our actions are beautiful. As we walk the beauty way, we walk with beauty all around us. As we walk the beauty way. Thank you for singing that along with me. Spirit in the second person now. That's traditionally defined as the I-thou relationship with the divine, where spirit can be experienced as a conception of God, that is a mythic old bearded man in the sky, or the simple intuition that we all exist within some great mystery or supreme being, by whatever name. The music that we sang this morning, the Lord's Prayer, the God chant, those are from the second person perspective. A lot of praise music in contemporary churches in the second person perspective. You raise me up, Josh Groban. Thank you for this day, Spirit. Thank you for this day, and those kinds of things. So we're very familiar with that because it is the most common expression, this I-thou relationship. And it fits into that devotional, that bhakti yoga. It's our fourth unity principle. Through prayer, we make contact. We connect. Now, I discovered a profound sense of well-being when I was in northwestern Montana, and I was introduced to the dances of universal peace. And in the dances, I was introduced to the sacred verses of multiple world religions. But one that I was introduced to at the time was the Aramaic translation of the Lord's Prayer. And Neil Douglas Klotz has written about it, and in this book called Prayers of the Cosmos. He was a student of Rocco Errico, who was a protege of George Lanza, a student and scholar. And George Lanza directly translated the Bible from Aramaic to English without all those other translations in between. So when looking at it that way, there's a lot of differences in the way they are interpreted. And you're all familiar with how it's interpreted in English. In Scripture, Jesus said, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. He spoke from that mystical perspective. And according to Rocco Errico, to truly pray in his name, which is what, when he was asked, how do I pray? And then he gave that prayer. Rocco Errico explains, to truly pray in his name, meaning Jesus, means to pray with the same understanding about God and humanity as Jesus had. Aramaic was that spoken language, and Jesus' name was Yeshua in Aramaic. So I'd like us to do a little bit of this chant. That's the very first line, B'un Dibashmaya. You see it also in your bulletin. And that's a translation of the first line, Our Father, which art in heaven. Okay, B'un Dibashmaya. And the A, the B and the W is really soft. B'un Dibashmaya. B'un Dibashmaya. And what Mr. Klotz did is he put it into a dance, which really is sacred movement and mudras, not choreography. And the dance cycle of this actually takes about 2 hours to go through the phrases of all the Lord's Prayer. But because you take time to do that with each phrase, you really connect with the essence and the embodiment of the prayer. So in Aramaic, it's B'un Dibashmaya, Netkara Shmach, Tete Malkutach, Nechle Seviana Ikana Dibashmaya Af Ba'ara. Havlan Lachma Dasun Kanan Yamana. Washbochlan Chalmein Achana Dafchanan Shwachain Lachayaben. Huala Tala Lenisona Elam Pasan Min Bishah. Mitul delahi malkuta wahela wishbukta la alam almin amen. And in Prayers of the Cosmos, as Mr. Klotz says, this is one possible translation when he broke down each of these phrases. O birther, father, mother of the cosmos, focus your light within us, make it useful. Create your reign of unity now. Your one desire then acts with ours, as in all light, so in all forms. Grant what we need each day in bread and insight. Loose the cords of mistakes binding us as we release the strands we hold of others' guilt. Don't let surface things elude us, but free us from what holds us back. From you is born all ruling will, the power and the life to do the song that beautifies all. From age to age it renews. Truly, power to these statements, may they be the ground from which all my actions grow. Amen. So let's do a little bit of that first line up, B'un Dibashmaya, to music. Thank you. Doing that for about 20 minutes in a circle is very meditative and really connecting. And it helps us to take those words that we hear and say from the intellect into true experience. And those sounds, when he talks about a meditation in here, of meditation on the sounds, because the ah sound is the sound that's found in all the names for God. Ah or El. And the Shem in Hebrew, it means breath and so forth. So these are sacred sounds as well as words and phrases. Spirit in the first person. To relate to the spirit in the first person is to relate from the I am, the one speaking. It's that God is closer than breathing, nearer than hands and feet perspective. And it's the reason why we spend time in meditation and go into silence. This form of worship for the first person is meditation. And the form of worship for the second person is prayer. So one such chant in this first person and our affirmations that we say that start with I am, that's the first person perspective. So you have in your bulletin also, I am the light of the soul. So let's do that one now from first person perspective. Looking at your paper now. okay? I am the light of the soul. I am bountiful. I am beautiful. I am bliss. I am. Soul, I am bountiful, I am beautiful, I am bliss, I am, I am the light of the soul, I am bountiful, I am beautiful, I am bliss, I am. I am the light of the soul. I am bountiful. I am beautiful. I am bliss. I am, I am. Last time. I am the light of the soul. I am bountiful. I am beautiful, I am bliss, I am, I am the light of the soul, I am bountiful, I am beautiful, I am bliss, I am, I am. Thank you. So beautiful to commune in community with these chants and this music. So to recap, the three forms of worship that correspond to first person, one is the first person, mystical through meditation. Second person, the form of worship is devotional through worship of prayer, ritual, and those kinds of things. And then third person is by revering and connecting with the wonder and beauty of all of creation. So I would ask you to look at these three perspectives and see which one. I mean, we all do tend to have a preference or a connection with one more than another, or there might be two out of the three that you connect with. But notice what gives you the most peace, spiritual nourishment of these three perspectives. And I would invite you then to connect with that, of course, and then look at a couple of these other perspectives as well and integrate them into your life or spiritual practice. Because if we're feeling lacking in the connection with this spiritual ecstasy as was defined in, as part of mysticism, then maybe look at the connection. Are there some practices that I'm not doing or that I could do that would bring me more in connection with that? For we are all hardwired to experience the ecstasy of God, the spiritual ecstasy, and we access it through the first person, second person, and third person. And we also use those four yogas through meditation, through devotion, through connecting with connection and balance and harmony of body and mind, and through selfless service. Our Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore said, "The same Christ Spirit that was in Jesus is implanted in all the children of God, and as you find the Christ in yourself, you realize that you are one with Jesus Christ in God mind. Your soul has taken deep root in universal mind, and you are growing and unfolding and drawing upon the invisible and making God manifest. The power of divine mind is irresistible, and it is your part to have faith in it and to make its good things manifest in your life and affairs. So, my fellow mystics, it's time to come out of the closet. Namaste.